All right. Hey, would you join me and let's pray, guys. Father, I am just, I'm always humbled at your provision. I'm always humbled at your love and your care. I thank you for these men. Thank you that, as Tom said, this is not a mistake. This is actually a divine appointment with you. I thank you for their heart, and I pray, God, that you would speak to them. And more than that, Father, myself included, would you compel us to action? Would you compel us to be better and to do better than we're doing now? Father, I pray for every marriage represented here, no matter what condition they're in. I pray that your Spirit would rejuvenate and refresh and renew and restore. And would you just make all of our marriages symbols, metaphors of your love and your glory. Father, open our hearts to your word, open our ears to what you are speaking to us today, and I pray that you'd just be here in a big way and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. I am, my name's Rob Thorpe. I am Floridian by birth, Arkansan by I guess by marriage and a lot of things. We ended up there. How many of you grew up with a father who was either absent or gone, didn't have one, or a stepfather? Okay, maybe a third to a half of us. That's about normal. I grew up in one of those. My dad was a professional baseball player, so when I sort of woke up early in my life, I was surrounded by, some of you old guys remember people like Warren Spahn, Eddie Matthews, Hank Aaron, over at my house eating Sunday lunch. So I grew up in La La Land. My older brother and I, it was like, wow, this is awesome. Then my dad got hurt, came down the minor leagues to rehab, and we ended up in Little Rock because that's a double-A team. He was rehabbing, then my dad and mom got divorced, and he was pretty much gone. So, I don't know if I even turned this on yet. So, anyway, yeah, it's on, good. I say that to say, I had a nice guy. He was a nice guy. He was a really good baseball player for a few years. But I had no clue what marriage looked like. I never saw what a good marriage was supposed to be. My mom remarried a nice guy. He was a nice guy, stepdad. But if any of you have ever had stepdads, they're just not dad, right? It's just not dad. He's a nice guy. He provided for us. But again, I never saw what a husband was supposed to be. And so when I got married at 22, I didn't have a clue. I have no clue whatsoever. So it was hunt and peck. It was on-the-job training. And it wasn't real pretty. Okay, I had determined, we had three sons. I was determined I was going to be the father I never had. Right? I'm going to just push that pendulum all the way to the other side. I'm going to be super dad. I'm going to be there from T-ball at age 4 to high school, whatever. I'm going to coach. I'm going to be there. I'm going to do all of these awesome things for my boys. Well, guess who I neglected in that process? Exactly. Doing good things, but not the best thing. So I had no clue what I was doing, but I'm here to tell you, and I'm so glad that Ricky, we already got to hear Ricky. But one of the things that he talked about was just being real, being honest. That's something that I think all men struggle with. But I will tell you, this August, I will have been married 40 years.
Praise the Lord.
40 years. To the same woman. Yeah. I know a lot of people have been married 40 years to four or five people, but anyway, my high school sweetheart, but that is not a testament to my acumen as a husband. That's a testament to Christ and grace and mercy, because I'm not up here because I have a perfect marriage, or I have had a perfect marriage, and I know all about perfect marriages because I've lived through that. I'm up here because I didn't have that. There were seasons in our marriage that just stunk. And we got to the place where we were on the verge of saying, you know what? I don't need this. I don't want this. And a lot of you have come to that point, haven't you? There are times when we just don't feel like it. Did I make a mistake? Man, things would be better. You start hearing that voice, right? Well, what I want to talk to you about is some things that I've just learned over time because I made the wrong choices. I made the mistakes. So I don't want you to make the same ones. And somebody tell me something in your life that you really, really worked hard for to obtain as a guy. You had a goal and you said, by golly, I'm going to do that. I'm going to really work hard at that. Anything. Sports, music, academics. Just shout it out.
Career.
What else?
Random man.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody play football, baseball, basketball, soccer, any sports? Any hunters, fishermen, golfers? Any of that kind of stuff? All right. You know what fascinates me is that men, I say this all the time, but men do what they really want to do. If you really want to do something, you'll do it. You'll find a way to do it. You call me and say, hey, Rob, I'll pick you up at 3:30. We're going to go duck hunting. We're going to go goose hunting. We're going to go deer hunting. We're going to go fishing. We're going to go whatever. Guess who's going to be up probably an hour before that? Probably not even. I'll wake up before the alarm because I'm excited. I want to be there. I'll be dressed. I'll be ready. I'll be standing there when you come pick me up because, what? I want to. As a young, skinny, very skinny little runt, my wife now in the ninth grade, when we were dating, we have a picture of ourselves, and she's bigger than I am. And she's a small girl. She's 5'3". In the ninth grade, I was just a wuss, okay? Ninth grade. You're not supposed to be a wuss at the ninth grade, right? You're supposed to be maturing. You want to be not a wuss in the ninth grade. Seventh grade, everybody's kind of a wuss. But by the ninth grade, you don't want to be that anymore, okay? So I decided a couple things. One is I wanted to start working out. Secondly, I started taking karate. Okay, just to defend myself. I had a goal as a young man. I wanted to be good at it. Anytime we all decide we're going to be good at something, what does it take to get there?
Time and effort.
Time, effort, money. Sometimes you have to sacrifice stuff, right? All right, how many of you, and I don't want to see your hands, but I can say this because I didn't, again, have a clue. But how many of you, when you got married, said, I want to be the very best at this? I want to be the best dang husband on the planet. Probably not many of us, right? I didn't. Well, as a result of that, guess who didn't put in a lot of time, effort, money, all that kind of stuff? I just assumed it was going to happen. Nice girl, nice guy. We go to church, we go to small group. Worship leader. I mean, everybody knew we were going to get married. It was just going to be awesome, right? Child number one comes along, child number two comes along, and we are like this. Stress, financial, sexual, you name it. Temptation, sin, all of that stuff. I had no clue how to work hard at being a good husband. So I just want to share some things with you. If you're note takers, you have some notes. You have some fill in the blank stuff. You should have a pen, I hope, from your bag. But let me say this. Let me throw this caveat out there to you. And I want all of you to hear this, because as Christians, we have a real tendency to, we have a mindset to do this with a lot of things, but I think in particular with marriage. And listen to this phrase. You can't learn your way to an awesome marriage. Okay, let me repeat that. You can't learn your way to an awesome marriage. Okay? If any of you have ever tried to lose weight or get in shape, which is probably quite a few of us, okay? If this was a Weight Watchers seminar, and I was writing stuff up here, and you guys were taking copious notes, and we were watching videos of other people and how they lost weight, and I'm telling you 12 principles of how to lose weight, and you left here and you went out in the foyer and said, that was awesome. That was the best thing I've ever heard on losing weight. Have you lost any weight? Are you going to lose any weight just by coming and filling in the blanks? You're not. So that's the point. Your marriage is going to be exactly where it is next week if you just fill in blanks. And that's what men do. That's what I did forever. Go to church, fill in my bulletin. And then one day God slapped me almost literally out of a funk. I was sitting there filling in my bulletin and God said, what are you doing? I said, filling in my bulletin. Dutifully, man, I'm taking notes and I'm growing. And you know what I did with that bulletin? What I did every Sunday. Came home from church, put my Bible on the nightstand and put the bulletin on top of the other bulletins in the nightstand. Right? Well, God told me this. He said, Rob, you are a mile wide and an inch deep. You're just like the Pharisees who I said, look, guys, you know the Bible. You've memorized it. You know the Bible inside and out, but you refuse to come to me to find life. And the Lord just shook me one day and said, you don't know me. Know me. I know you, but I don't know you. I know Tom. I know several guys here, and they know me, but they don't know me. Why? Because we don't hang out. We don't spend time together. And the Lord looked at me and he kind of really literally hit me up beside the head and said, Rob, you just don't know me. And boy, it really shook me to my bones. And this was only like 10 years ago. And I've been a Christian since I was 17. So for all of that time, guess what I did? I did what all the rest of us do. I did religious stuff. I led groups and worship, and I was raising my kids and doing all that stuff. But at the end of the day, the Lord said, you need to know me. You need to hang out with me. And I had to say, honestly, it's just like Ricky said, if we're really being honest, I had to say, you know what? You're right. I need you to show me how to do that. I need to start doing that. So I want to tell you some stuff today about how to make love to your wife. That was a catchy enough title, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Couple of things I want to point out to you. The Bible says all of us are made up of those three elements, right? Spirit, soul, and body. So, if we are really going to learn how to love or make love to our wife, we need to know how to do that spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Okay? Let me ask you this. If we label this 1, 2, 3, where on the human body would we put, for men, good looking guy here, How would we prioritize these guys on this male figure? If we're aiming for Let's say this is one area. Another area. Okay. Where would you put the most priority on here? Anybody disagree with that? All right. Billy Crystal once said, women need a reason to have sex. Men just need a place. Okay, now, anybody want to hazard a guess? Where? This is a heart, by the way. Soul, mind. Where would one be? Absolutely. I'm going to make an argument that there's a very fine line between those two for her. Okay? That's why that's a hard answer. Not so hard for us. You got a pulse? Okay? So how in the world do we figure this out? All right? That's why we're here. So let's get into this. All right, the first thing I want to talk about before that even hits your notes, I want to change, I hope. Again, this is not something I want you to learn and write down and say, man, I learned something at this seminar. And what I've been asking God is that we'll have a paradigm shift. I think it's like losing weight. Unless you have a paradigm shift, a lifestyle change, you're not going to lose weight and keep it off. Right? You're going to lose a little, gain a little, use it, but there's nothing really changed in your lifestyle, in your paradigm. Everybody reach your hands, put your stuff down real quick. All right, reach your hands out and just clasp your hands together. All right, hold your hands together like that. All right, you either have your left thumb or right thumb on top. All of you right thumbers kind of go like this. All right, that's about half. All right, now I want you to unclasp them and do it differently. Put the other thumb on top. How's that feel? That's kind of weird. Okay, you can put them down. Isn't that a little strange? That's a little weird. Okay, when you leave here today, it might feel like that. It might feel a little different. To have a lifestyle change, a paradigm change in your marriage might feel a little awkward. It might feel a little different than what you've been doing. All right, that's what I'm talking about. So, the first thing I want to do is define this person here. I'm not going to ask you to say this out loud, but when you think of your wife, what do you think about? How would you describe her? What adjectives do you think about? And I actually have asked people out loud before, and I get stuff like annoying, nag, you know, and then there's a few good ones thrown in there. But what I want to describe to you, gentlemen, goes all the way back to the creation. As Ricky said, as we've heard today, God said it's not good for man to be what?
Alone.
It's not, is it? He's pretty smart. Okay, so he said, I will create someone. I'm not going to create a four-wheeler. I'm not going to create a lab. I'm not going to create a set of golf clubs. I'm going to create something that is going to be the best thing I could think, if God could think of, to help us. Out of everything God could have created, anything, what did he do? What was he thinking? He created her. Isn't that amazing? Now, I just heard somebody say, but you don't know my wife. But God does. God said I'm going to create someone for you and for you. I'm not creating her for him. I'm creating her for you. Uniquely for you. And you know what? God created her for you, for me. So how do I view her now? God, I'm mad at her. What I'm really saying is I'm upset with you. I go back to Adam who said, that woman you gave me, that's why all this happened. Right? Blame. Very first thing that happened. God comes calling and says, hey man, where are you? Well, I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? Because that woman you gave me. Okay? What that says is, I'm trying to blame the woman, but I'm also blaming who? Who gave her to me? God. How many of you have daughters? Oh my gosh. Okay, how many of you have walked your daughter down the aisle already? Okay, about half of that bunch. The rest of you have that to look forward to. I have three sons, so I never have had the privilege of doing that, but I have married couples and have seen lots and lots of men bring their daughters up there. And what's amazing, what's so cool about that to me is this dad is standing up there with his precious daughter, and he's saying to this yahoo right here, I'm stepping out of the way, and I'm giving her to you, bucko, and you better, I'm trusting you with her heart, right? Any of you have given her away? I mean, that's a big deal, isn't it? I mean, that you're saying to this guy, I'm entrusting her life. I'm entrusting her heart, her everything to you. So I really want you to take good care of her because I can't do that anymore. I'm giving her away. Okay? God did that. That woman that you get upset with, that woman that sometimes we wish looked a different way, acted a different way, responded a different way, all that kind of stuff. That is God's daughter. And when God gave her to you, he said, I'm entrusting her to you, son. Treat her well, because I'm watching. One day I'm going to have to stand, we're all going to have to stand before God. And he's going to say, well, how'd you do with that? That scared me to death. When I first heard somebody say that, scared me to death. Because at the time, I was not treating her like God's daughter. And I know that convicts some of you. It convicted the heck out of me. But I want you to, when you see your wife, when you hear the word wife, I hope, I pray that God will start to change your paradigm of who this person is. This is his daughter. She's imperfect. She's selfish. She's fill in the blank, just like we are. But that's no excuse. Her father is watching. Her father wants you to treat her a certain way. So I want you to think about that. That's not just a blank to fill in. Okay? So husbands ought also to love their wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Okay, now, the other thing I want to give you a definition of. How many of you love your wife? If she was sitting in here and I asked that question, your hands would shoot up, right? We all love our wife. John 13:34 is the 11th commandment. We all know the first 10, right? We even struggle with those. But the 11th commandment, Jesus said, I have a new commandment for you. A new one. Okay, we better pay attention. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And he goes on to say that two or three more times. Okay? I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Now, is that a holy suggestion? Is that, but you don't know my wife, God? But what if she doesn't love me? What if she's acting this way? There are no buts. There are no ifs. There are no whens. When she starts doing this, love her as I have loved you. How does Jesus love us? Anybody?
Unconditional.
Unconditionally.
Completely.
Sacrificial. Okay. All right. Here's the question again. Do you love your wife? I heard a guy say one time Jesus would be a horrible marriage counselor because he would listen to your story, listen to her story, and go to the husband, are you loving her? Well, yeah, I love her. No, I'm not saying that. Are you loving her? Are you loving her? What were all those terms? Sacrificially? Okay. Are you loving her like I love you? Aren't you glad Jesus loves us unconditionally? We don't have to perform. We don't have to tap dance. It's not because of our response to him. He died when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We weren't looking for him. He didn't wait for us to love him first or to do anything. But that's what we do. You know, if you start meeting my needs, and maybe I'll start thinking about yours. Or I'll love you or I'll spend time with you if, aren't you glad Jesus doesn't love us that way? Well, we're commanded to what? To love as he loves. So, if you don't do what Christ commands, what God commands, going back to what Ricky just got through talking about, what's that called?
Sin.
Okay. I am guilty. I am guilty. Because I'm a guy. I'm selfish. I wake up every morning and the world revolves around who? All right? I'm an addict. We all can come into a class like this if we're just real and say, Rob, I'm an addict. I'm addicted to, what do I do with all those? I'm addicted to me. We're all addicted to me. We wake up every day of our life and we think about who. Our focus is on who. That's just who we are. So we have to do something to unflip that switch. We have to make choices. We have to make decisions that says, okay, my default switch, I worked all day yesterday on trying to walk with God and be a good guy, and be a good husband, be a good dad, do all these things. I'm trying to walk in the Spirit. And then you go to bed and you wake up and it's like, okay, Groundhog Day. Me again. I'm a selfish idiot. So I've got to do something to get back to here, right? I've got to make decisions, choices. I've got to live deliberately. You can't just, it's not just going to happen any more than me being a world-class karate champion or you being a good at whatever. It's not just going to happen if you don't put any effort in it. Okay? So, we are commanded. Ephesians 5:25, we all know, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then he gives you a little bit of a definition. He gave himself up for her. Christ gave himself up for us. He died for us. How many of you have died for your wife yet? Okay, you're sitting here. None of us have gone to that extreme. But do we die a little bit every day? Do you ask God every day, how can I put her first? 1 Corinthians 7:33 says, our goal and our wife's goal, I mean, there's a role for her to play here. Our goal every day, primary goal in life, should be to please our wife. Say, what? Is my number one goal tomorrow when I get home and or wake up in the morning? How? Okay, God, it's a great new day. It's Sunday. Awesome. Would you help me know? Would you show me how I can just love my wife and please her and make her day? Yeah.
What was Ephesians what?
1 Corinthians 7:33. 1 Corinthians 7 is a great marriage chapter, by the way. But what I'm saying is that's not our default, is it? That's not what we default to, but yet the Word says my number one priority should be to please her. Now, it also says, because again, the enemy speaks to us while we're sitting out here, and I know what he said to me was, well, what about her? What's her doing? Doesn't she have something? Well, yes, she does. But if she's not doing anything, if she's not responding, if she's not meeting your need physically, if she's not whatever, guess what? Does that negate God's commandment? Does that negate what God's Word says we're supposed to be? No. There are no ifs, there are no buts, there are no whens. It doesn't matter. God's holding, He's going to hold us accountable. Okay? All right, here we go. Let's jump into what you've got, your outline there. Let's talk about how to make love spiritually. Guys, we talked about this fine line here with your wife. Everything hinges, I believe this, 40 years of marriage, my wife and I do a lot of marriage counseling. We have a lot of couples of all ages that we have met with of all different ages who profess to be believers. Go to church, small group, do all the stuff, do all that mile-wide stuff that I was doing. And we listen to his side, we listen to her side, here's what's going on, we're just having these issues. Newlyweds, oldieweds, it doesn't really matter. But when we say, okay, he's pointing fingers here, she's pointing fingers there, and then at the end of the day we'll say, okay, let me ask you a question, Mr. Husband. How's your walk with Christ? You know, when you're reading the Bible, you know, what has God been speaking to you lately? When you're praying, I mean, how what's God been? Guess what we hear? Well, I'm doing that. I'm busy, man. I got a big job. I got 3 kids. I got to I got to get on the shift. I got to drive and commute and this and that. Oh, okay. Well, how about your prayer life? I mean, when you get in the car, do you turn the radio off and spend that 30 minutes just communing with God, asking it? Blank. Well, let me ask you, ma'am, how's your walk with God? Well, what's happening is this Christian couple is just, they're wanting a Christian marriage. They're wanting an awesome marriage, right? But they just think it's going to happen because they're going to church or they're nice people. And it doesn't work. The Bible says you reap what you what? So, what are you sowing here? What are you sowing into your wife? What are you sowing into your husband? What are you sowing into your Christian walk? Nothing. We just want a great marriage. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. So, number one, everything. Everything in your marriage, physical, emotional, everything, rest on your walk with God. Guys, I will just tell you, it isn't going to happen unless you do that. It's just not. And you can fake it. You can say, you know how you go to small group, you go to church, and what's your name?
Jim.
I'll go up, I'll see Jim in the hall, I'll see Jim at small group. How's your marriage, man? What did 99% of all men say? Fine. Okay, good. We're good. Right? If you ask 1,000 men to rate their marriage on a scale of 1 to 10, they'll normally give you a 6 or 7. If you ask their wives, what will they give you? Exactly.
The truth.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to settle for okay. How many of you just want to have an okay job? An okay life? Fine. How's work? Fine. That's kind of miserable. How many of you want okay kids? Oh, C minus. Cool. That's okay. That's average. That's all right. You know, the Bible says run the race to just be a participant. Just get the participation ribbon. That's okay. But we all want it, but how badly do we want it? How many books on marriage have you read last year? DVDs. How many times have you taken your wife away, just the two of you? How many of you? I could go on and on. How much have you invested of your time, money, effort, energy in your marriage compared to everything else in your world, in your work, in your hobbies, in your family, and all that stuff? It's just not, it's back there maybe, I want it, but I haven't brought it up here. I haven't had that paradigm shift. I haven't had that change that says, that's my number one priority. Outside of my walk with Christ, my number one priority in this world, in this life, is my wife. Above my kids, above my job, above everything. And it will be tomorrow. And then I wake up the next day, defaulted back to me, right? I got to make those choices again the next day. And then the next day. You can't just, it's like me saying, oh, I prayed to accept Christ when I was 17. I haven't done a lick since. I haven't read the Bible, I haven't gone to church, but boy, I'm a Christian, but I'm struggling. What would you tell me? Well, duh, of course you're struggling. Okay? Well, I got married 40 years ago, and man, it's awful. And what are you doing to make it not awful? Nothing. Well, then you're going to have awful. Okay. We can't love our wives as Jesus commanded us to unless we're walking with Him. Marriage was never intended to be lived apart from God. You can see that in Genesis. Never. God intended husband and wife to walk with Him every day. He wanted to be a part of marriage. He still wants to be a part of my marriage and your marriage in our everyday life. And if we don't let Him do that, then we're the one that's not going to, then we're the ones that's going to suffer for that. Loving her spiritually means loving her with Christ's love. And the only way you can do that is to be filled with the Spirit. You know, a lot of people think that Ephesians 5, the marriage verse, starts with husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. Actually, if you go back up to verse 18, where I think it does start, it basically says to be filled with the Spirit. You can't love your wife as Christ loved the church. She can't respect you unless you're filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. It just isn't going to happen. It doesn't matter how much you want it to, it's just not going to happen. So, if you're filled with the Spirit, guys, the Bible says these things are going to be, they're going to be adjectives that describe your life. And they're also going to be adjectives that describe your marriage. So listen to this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you don't see those fruits in your personal life, if there's no self-control in my life, if there's no kindness at home, if there's no patience with my wife and my kids, guess what? I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm not filled with the Spirit. It's as simple as that. It's not her fault. So when you run into these horizontal problems with your wife, and you can sense that, you know that, when there's not peace at home, you're kind of nagging, you're kind of grinding on each other, you're not patient, you're not kind, don't take it out on her. You, instead of going horizontal with that, you need to go vertical with that. You need to say, God, what is the deal? I need you. I need to be filled with you. Because if you don't help me, I'm not going to be patient and kind and gentle. By nature, I'm angry. I'm not gentle. I'm not patient. And so God says, great, let me be that in you. Then guess what? He gets the credit for it and not you. You can say to other people, or when other people look at your marriage, they go, how do you do it? How do you make it? And well, God did that. God did that. It's not because I did this or I went to a class or I read a book. God did that. So that last paragraph, without this, you'll never lead your wife the way she longs for, that Christ commanded you to. You must lead her spiritually by being a spirit-led man. Your wife keeps saying, I want him to lead. I want him to lead me. I want him to lead us. The best way you can do that is walk with God. Be a leader. I can't tell you how many times my wife has told other people the thing that means the most to her in the world, as in our marriage, is for her to see me reading my Bible or praying, knowing that I am trying to walk with God. I'm trying to hear from God. Just blesses her like nothing else. So if she's not seeing you do that, guess what? It's the same thing. It makes her feel more insecure, more anxiety, more, oh my gosh, is he really hearing God? Is this really a good decision for us? All that kind of stuff. It's a choice. All of this is a choice, and it's obvious when it's not true. Let's skip real quickly to emotional. Because I want to tell you about a couple of surveys. Shanti Feldhin is a very well-known author, has several great books that I could recommend to you. But one of her books, she said something very profound. This was a book about women. She studied and polled lots and lots and lots of women. And one of the comments that she makes in this book is, if your wife or if a woman doesn't feel loved, it's the same as if she's not loved. Okay? Feeling. There's another survey that was done years ago, thousands and thousands of women. They asked the question, what makes a married woman happy? We'd all like to know that, right? What makes a married woman happy? The answer, the predominant answer of that survey was, and dig this, the emotional engagement of a husband. Emotional engagement. It's not the money. It's not the hard work. It's not the job. It's not the washboard abs. It's the emotional engagement of my husband. Okay? What does that mean? Basically, love is a verb. Going back to what I was saying a minute ago about Jesus and his marriage counseling. What are you doing? How are you loving her? What does that look like? Because we all said we love our wife, right? If I said okay to one of your wives, how does he do that? How do you see that? What's the evidence of that love? Well, hey, he helps me with the dishes. He makes the bed. He takes out the trash. I don't have to nag him about that. He spends time with our kids. He takes the kids sometimes and lets me have some time off. He does something. It's a verb. So, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. If you want to know how to love your wife, let me recommend Philippians chapter 2 to you. Make a little note of that. That chapter talks about, and this is the start of it, do nothing. That Greek word means no thing. Nothing.
No thing.
Out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider what? Your wife or others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only after your own interests, but also the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And it goes on to talk about how you can love her like Christ. Okay? He gave himself up. He came down and suffered even unto death. He said, I came to serve and not be served. He said to his disciples, the greatest among you, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, if you want to be great as a husband, if you want to stand before God, and he said, man, you did a great job. Jesus would say, you need to be a servant. Okay? You know the fear that we have as men, I hear over and over again, well, what if I do that? What if I just went home tonight and I said, honey, this was awesome seminar. We just heard some great guys, and you know, I just want to tell you about some of the things God spoke to me while I was there. You have to pick her up off the floor. Because what we're going to do is we're going to go back and she's going to go, hey, how was it? And we're going to say, let me challenge you. If you want to knock her socks off, just say, well, hey, when the kids go to bed, or I'd like to tell you, I'd like to sit down with you for a minute and tell you some of the stuff God spoke to me. Oh, my gosh. That's a paradigm shift. She would write Tom thank you letter. I'm serious. That would be a big deal. A, that you would want to just spend some time with her, but B, that you'd want to share some stuff. It's not just okay, not just fine. I want to tell you some stuff. And then, oh, by the way, God spoke to you? God showed you some stuff? That's awesome. I'm telling you, I'll challenge you to do that. But then, the next morning when you wake up and you're in me world all over again, okay, and you make a choice, God, I'm just desperate for you. I can't live life. I can't do anything. Jesus said, I can do what without the Father? John 15:5, guys, one of the best verses you could memorize in your life. You can't do it. Jesus couldn't do it. Jesus wasn't Superman. Okay? The reason he prayed all the time, the reason he got up early, the reason he stayed up all night long to pray before he picked his disciples, because he didn't know. He didn't know what to do, so he had to go to God and say, what do I do? But you know, in doing that, he gave us an example. Because every day, if you're like me, I'm going, what do I do? The kids are doing this, and the wife's doing, what do I do? I go to him. I say, God, I'm desperate. I don't know what to do with this teenage girl. I don't know what to do with my wife's doing this, and I'm tempted with this girl at the office. Help me. And just like any of you that have kids, your son or your daughter asks you to help them, what are you going to do? You're going to help them. God, he can't wait to help you. He can't wait to come to your rescue. But he can't if you don't ask. So, anyway, loving her emotionally, guys. You know, so many things that I talk to men a lot, and one of the things that they say to me a lot is that she doesn't meet my needs physically. Okay? It really gets to men that she's not that excited about meeting my physical needs. All right, my question to you is, in spite of that, okay, let's put that aside, how excited are you? How much time are you spending? How focused are you on meeting her emotional needs? Because those are just as strong as your God-given physical need for this. So you're saying, well, I want you to get this, okay? I want you to get this. She's saying, I want you to get this. Say, what God would say, what Christ would say is, are you loving her? Are you doing this? Because if you want to get to this, guess where you need to start? Here. You can't just sit there and go, well, as soon as you you know, start meeting my needs and I'll think about spending some time. No, God says, are you loving her? Is she your number one priority? Are you loving her like I love you? In spite of herself, in spite of whatever, unconditionally? No. Well, then don't expect her to get this. It's really simple. It's just math. But I'm not investing here. I want this, but I'm not investing in her. I just want her to somehow get it. And she's over there telling her friends, I just wish he'd get it. I wish he'd go to some seminar and they just, oh, I get it. That's it. Okay? Well, that kind of segues to physical. The top of the, I don't even know if it's front page or back page, it says the best way to do this. A couple of ways that you can, the big, big ways that you can love her emotionally, guys, is to lighten her load. Women have, I wish I had this giant picture, and I know you've probably seen it, of the, it's a big piece of metal, but there's like one switch, it says man at the top, and it has one switch, on, off. On the bottom it has woman, and has like 500 knobs and switches and whatever. It's a perfect illustration. You can be in a fight with your wife, you can have a miserable day, your, you know, dog could have whizzed on your pants when you were coming in, or you stepped in it and your kids left something and you stepped on that, and your wife gives you the slightest hint that she might feel a little amorous. You don't care. Switch on. All that other stuff doesn't matter. Okay? But that's not true with her. She's not a man. She's not like that. So the guy that said sex begins in the kitchen, okay, meant, am I helping her? Am I lightening her load? Am I helping her turn those switches off, those knobs off? If it's like my wife, and I love her, love her, love her to death, she's got a humongous heart, and she's totally relational, which women are, and she's always, always, there are no pop-up blockers in her life. It's just happening. Her 92-year-old mom, her 93-year-old aunt, her other aunt in Memphis who's dying, the cat threw up a hairball, the dog hasn't gone to the bathroom in 3 days. She has 100 knobs. And all of a sudden, I'm wanting to say, hey, baby, let's sneak up to the bedroom. Well, she can't just turn those off. It just isn't going to happen. What she needs, what she's crying out for from us, is to help her process that stuff. How's your mom? Oh, I'm really worried about it. And I'm just going, oh, man, yeah. And engaging. I mean, I'm there. I'm not just looking at my iPhone or whatever. And then she has a story about the cats, which is not my favorite. But, oh, really? Oh, man, I must have eaten something. Yeah. She wants you. She wants to spend some time with you. She wants to process her life with you. Okay? But if you will allow her, if you will love her, spend time with her, listen to her, don't try to fix her. Just listen. Okay? Nod. Put down. Turn the TV off. Just get some time with her on a regular basis. How's your day? Just engage with her. The emotional engagement of my husband. Guess what's going to happen? Let me say this caveat. This is being recorded. Don't do this because you want this. Do this because you love her. You're trying to obey God. You're trying to be the best husband on the planet. And you know what will happen? It says he who loves his wife, what? Loves himself. If you do what God commands you to do, guess what? He's going to move on her to do what he's commanded her to do. That may not be that night, okay? But it doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter how she responds to that. We're still commanded to love her as Christ loved us. So if you don't see the kind of response you want, tough. That's the answer. That's Jesus' answer. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. That's what I called you to do. But if God says you reap what you sow, if you love her, you love yourself. Okay? There's so many things it says. If you know, it says, happy are those that do. If now that you know what to do, blessed are you. Happy are you if you do it. Just do it. Just start doing it. And just trust God with her. Trust God that he'll meet your needs through her as you're just being obedient to him. Okay? All right. Where were we? Lighten her load. Spend time with her. Talk to her. One of the best things you can do, guys, is continue to affirm her. Everybody wants to be affirmed. I want to be affirmed. Okay? We all do. All of us have a little insecurity in our life. And we all need somebody to come up and pat us on the back. Especially those of us that didn't have a dad. Okay? Then you just had a coach. And the coach kept saying, oh, you goat, come on. I mean, you know, so nobody was affirming us. Nobody was affirming us. Nobody was affirming us. And so there's this little boy inside me that just wants to be affirmed. And so if my wife doesn't do it, and I'm at the office, and there's a cute little girl that works there that keeps saying, you're awesome. You are just so cool. You're the most awesome. And all of a sudden, she's affirming. I'm going to start having some feelings for that. I'm going to be attracted to that. Well, it's the same way with her. One of the reasons my wife began to become attracted to somebody in our own church small group, anybody hear that? Was because he was listening to her. He was affirming her. He was going, oh my gosh, how'd that make you feel? Da, da, da. Well, and processing with her while I was out being super dad and coaching and traveling and doing all this cool stuff. Okay? Scary. So affirm her. Thank her. Man, I so appreciate you, honey. You're just the best mom. Just keep... We're humans. We all need that. The number one thing you can do to meet her need emotionally, the number one thing, and it's the hardest thing, and I think it has to do with the enemy, but the hardest thing you will ever try to do on a consistent basis with your wife, because it makes the most inroads into her soul, is what? Pray. Pray for your wife every day, guys. She is under attack just like you are. But number two, the more time, if you ever spend any time praying with her, that's huge. That is the hugest thing you can ever do to love her emotionally. You may not be a very good prayer. I don't like to pray out loud. She's more spiritual. She went tough. If you just say, now I'll lay me down to sleep with her, she'll just... Oh my gosh, that was awesome. Pray with her. I still don't do that well. But every time I do, the unity between my wife and I is just instantaneous. And the more I do that, and this is weird, guess what happens to her? She feels more attracted to me. She wants to be with me. She loves me. She's attracted to me because I'm meeting this need in her life. Okay? All right. Lastly, talking about physical, please remember this, guys. Sex for her does not equal intimacy. Sex for us is intimacy. That's how I experience intimacy with my wife more than anything else. Not true for her. This is how she experiences intimacy. How's your day? Awesome. How are the kids? Oh, what can I do? Oh, let me take the kids down. Engaging her emotionally is the number one thing that you can do. She doesn't have any pop-up blockers. We talked about that. Lighten her load. And listen, there's a couple other things real quick. Put her needs above your own, even in bed. All right, when this does happen, when you do have the opportunity to be physical, it's still not about you. You may have a stronger need. You've got a biological need, much stronger than hers typically. It's still not about that. If we love her, it ought to be about pleasing who? It ought to be about her enjoyment. It ought to be about what pleases her. Okay? That's not even a place to be selfish. And then lastly, and this has been touched on, and there's lots of other discussions about that going on, is pornography, which statistically, if you look to your right or your left, and it's not you, it's the other two guys, two-thirds of us, struggle with, it is a humongous killer to your intimacy. Probably the most... The more you casually do that, the more you deliberately do that, the worse your intimacy, the worse your love life, the worse your marriage. So if you really want to help your marriage, you really want to help the intimacy, the oneness in your marriage, like Ricky was saying, find somebody. Get a mentor, get a buddy, get somebody and get through that, get past that. Because that is killing your intimacy with your wife. All right, takeaways. Guys, you have 100% chance of having an incredible marriage. You might be right now, your marriage might be a 2, it might be a 9. But if you want something more than an okay marriage, if you want an awesome marriage, you can have it. All you have to do is do what God tells you to do. Not fill in blanks. Those are great. Books are great. DVDs are great. CDs are great. All those things are great. But if you don't do it, so what? It's really up to you. You're the head of the house. You're the head of the home. So if you don't do it, you don't have anybody else to blame. God says, love your wife. Commandment. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. As I love you, love her. But... No buts. Love her. Well, I don't feel like... Doesn't matter. Love her. How do I do that? Well, ask him. How can I love you today? Oh, there's the bed. The bed's not made. I can still see my wife's face when I made the bed for the first time. You know how long it takes to make the bed? A minute, maybe, of my life. You know, my wife's downstairs, I'm showered, I come out, I'm getting dressed, and I look over and the bed, and it was like this little voice just said, why don't you just make that bed? Okay, pillows, little pillow shams, put the little pillows, all the stupid pillows, all the stuff, that, you know, straighten it out, whatever. I mean, you'd have thought I'd just gotten her tickets to Hawaii. You made the bed. Yeah? Man, I love you. That's awesome. Well, how's that make me feel? Ooh, that affirms me because I just... So what goes around comes around. Love her, love myself. Eh. But it was like a minute of my life, a minute investment. Take your dishes up. Oh, Henry, let me get these. Let me scrape these off. Who is this man? Oh, honey, how's the kids are nuts today. Well, let me take them down to the park. Why don't you go for a walk? Hello, you've been to a seminar? What's the deal? I mean, if we're listening to God, if we just are walking with Him, He's going to tell us stuff like that. And then guess what? Your wife is going to be blown out. She's going to go, I am so thankful. Not that you just went to a seminar, but that you're walking with God. And you're trying to hear His voice, and then you're trying to do what He tells you to do. That just fills her sails with wind. This makes her so fulfilled and just feel like, this guy is awesome. Okay. You gotta be deliberate. Reap what you sow. Your marriage, guys, and I know a lot of you guys are in ministry. And I can't tell you how many, I know you know them too, but how many pastors, ministers have fallen because they didn't do what we're talking about. They were so focused, like I was on my kids. They're focused on their men's group or their women's group or their small group or their church or their flock or whatever. And that's a great thing, but it doesn't come before your marriage. It doesn't come before your wife. If your marriage is in jeopardy, if you're not doing what God tells you to do in your marriage, guess, is he going to bless your ministry? No. God's telling me every day, he's telling you every day, love her. Give yourself up for her. Die to your own needs, your own deservits. And that's tough. None of us likes to die. But Jesus, every time Jesus was asked, how do we do this, God? How do we walk with you? How do we? He said the same thing. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Die. And follow me. That's simple. But as my friend Robbie says, the hardest thing about being a Christ follower is following Christ. It's true. Because it's not about, oh, I prayed a prayer and boy, that's great. You know, 30 years ago, it's not about, oh, I went to church last Sunday. It was a great sermon. Oh, my gosh, filled in the blanks, put them in my bedside table. It's about waking up tomorrow and going, God, I'm desperate. I don't know how to be a dad. I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a good employee or be a good boss. I am desperate for you, just like Jesus said, just like he lived. I can't do this. And you know what? God says, awesome. Way to go. And then he steps in and helps you do that. And what our marriage is supposed to do, what our marriage is supposed to be to the world, is a picture, a paradigm that people can look at and go, oh, I get it. That's how Christ loved the church. That's unconditional. Oh, I get that because I see that in your marriage. I see that now. I understand that. Our marriage is our biggest mission field. Our biggest ministry in our life is our marriage. You know, a lot of you said you had daughters. Lots of you may have sons too. Where are they going to learn how to be married? At your house. How's your daughter going to learn what kind of man she wants to marry? How's your son going to know what kind of woman he's looking for? Because he sees a mom and a dad walking with God. That's the biggest, that's the whole thing. Throw your notes away and just walk with God. Just try to walk with God. If you don't know how, find out how. Get a buddy. Get online with us. Get on, you know, get some guy to mentor you and walk with you. And I will encourage you guys, because we do a lot of it, is find a mentor couple. Don't try to do marriage by yourself. It's tough. I can tell you, 40 years and I still haven't figured it out. Get a couple that's been married a little longer than you have or a lot longer than you have and go, how do y'all do that? How do you raise a teenager? How do you raise a toddler? How do you love your wife when you don't feel like it? Don't, just like Ricky was saying, don't go into isolation. Don't try to go it alone. Just find another couple and say, hey, could we maybe, you know, get together every now and then, just kind of talk about life and marriage? And there's a lot of them out there that are willing to walk with you. Couple of things, I think, if they're not on your sheet, come by the table, whatever. Our ministry is here to help you guys do that. Allinmarriage.org. We have a website, we have a blog, we have all that kind of stuff. But marriage is very, very hard, as you know, if you've been married longer than 3 days. And I hope this has helped a little bit, but I hope more than anything else that God, not me, has helped you, A, see your wife in a little different light, and B, lead you to a place where you can walk with Him. Okay? Be filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, you won't fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. All the thing Ricky was talking about, all the things we struggle with. Personally, all the things we struggle with marriage-wise, kid-wise, all those struggles, it says if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill those lusts of our flesh. Okay? That's what we've got to do. Let's do this, guys. If you, just as a show of just to the Lord. If you will join me in saying, God, with your help, I'm going to try to be the best husband on the planet. I'm going to try to walk with you. I'm going to try to put my wife in her proper place as a top priority of my life. If you would, let's stand with me and let me pray for us, okay? Father, I know you see these hearts. I see these men that say they want to. Lord, a week from now we may not want to, we may not feel like it, but your word says that it's you that works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So I ask you, Lord, to work in each of us to want to. Give us the power, give us the want to do of your good pleasure. And your good pleasure, Lord, is that we love our wives like you love us, unconditionally, Lord, no matter how we feel, no matter how they respond. Would you give us the courage to love our wife that way? And to walk with you, Lord, and trust you with our marriage and our future together. Thank you for these guys, Lord. Bless them. Bless their marriage. Help them have just a great and an awesome rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.